Hey, man.
What's up? Hey, Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Ah, what a beautiful time of the year.
Yeah, it's almost over. So hope you're enjoying it while you can.
Okay. Fun times. Scrooge.
Don't forsake this time with your family because you might not.
Is that what we're doing? I wish you were never born.
It was like their calling card.
Yeah, they peed themselves. Perfect Christmas gift for anyone in your family with a massive head.
So he puts together this war plan to defend his home. And
this would have been a shorter episode if he called the police. It would have been over so fast.
Things I learned last night.
We just went and saw my wife's 100-year-old great-grandma yesterday.
Yeah.
And she got up and showed me that she's doing squats. Like, she just, I was like, how are you still walking around and stuff? And she just gets up and puts
how
her hand in the sink.
She use?
Friggin' two plates, dude.
Like, was pretty incredible.
225 right now? Yeah, she's freaking crazy.
She threw that down, started doing some lunges in between. It's kind of crazy.
No, she really was like squatting.
Yeah.
And then she like bent her knee up and like she was showing all of her mobility things that she does every day.
That's pretty crazy.
I was like, what
at
the
100?
Heck? 100 years old.
That's nuts.
But anyway, the reason I said the family member thing is that, you know, because we moved and the last thing that she said before we left was, don't forget that your family are your first friends. It was just one of those things where we were like, okay.
That is a 100-year-old person thing to say.
Yeah.
Like, once you have three digits in your year, like, you start to...
I told her, I said, oh, man, keeping limber for the next 100. She goes, I hope not. She's at that age where every time we go over there, she just goes, I prayed that God would take me last night, and he didn't. And you're like, okay, that's so sad.
All right. It's good to see you, too. Anyways, have you ever heard of Kevin McAllister?
Yeah, he runs the restaurant that I like.
Close.
It's his restaurant. They got a good club sandwich.
Not the same.
Okay.
Not the same. Kevin McAllister was, he was the center of a pretty wild event.
Okay.
Like Christmas 1990.
Okay.
Him and his family. Well, here, let's start from the beginning of the story. His family, his dad, Peter, worked in like corporate Chicago and had made like a pretty good name for himself.
Okay.
And got pretty successful. Like here's an example.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's their home. They had a beautiful Chicago home in like
That's
suburban.
That's like a mansion in these days though.
I mean, it was a mansion still, in those days.
A mansion in those days?
1990 okay. is not that long ago.
Well, I mean, it is though. It's like 30 years.
Yeah, I guess. 33 years ago. Jeez.
Yeah.
I remember it like it's yesterday.
Okay.
No, but they were pretty successful.
Sure.
And they were, I feel like this is like a rich person thing to do where they on Christmas Day were like, we're going to go to France on the day of Christmas, like Christmas morning.
I think it's a upper middle class thing to do because the flying on Christmas is cheaper than the other days.
To be fair, this trip was a big trip. Like they brought all their family and like,
who paid for it? Peter?
I'm pretty sure Peter paid for the whole thing. I don't know. Like the reports are slim on who's paying for everyone's flights.
Okay.
But I do know.
But like, it was a big family trip.
Yeah. It was the McAllisters, Peter and his wife, Kate, and their kids. But then also like, they brought extended family. So it was like all the cousins and like the aunts and uncles and grandparents went on this trip too.
Okay.
So it was a big crew. There's actually a photo from another trip. This wasn't the same Christmas trip, I don't believe.
This is another different group. Christmas trip?
I think this is a different Christmas trip. I believe this is. I'm not positive. But this.
Okay.
I think this might have been next year.
So what do you got, like 2, 4, 6, 8?
Yeah,
10,
a lot of cousins.
12?
I think there's an aunt and uncle in this photo too. But the rest of them are all cousins. They're all the cousins. Kevin is the little boy in the middle, like dead center.
Okay.
With that blue robe on. So big family. So even if like even if there's better rates on Christmas, like they're
it's
buying a
big
lot.
Family.
Like they're probably almost the whole plane. Like it's a big. It's
at
a
what
big,
point is it more economical to fly private? And that's like that's really how I justify it. So I go, yeah, I fly private, but it's economically.
It's just economically like friendly, it just makes more sense.
Just makes more sense.
And the Lord wants me to do it because I can reach more people this way.
God told me. God said that's my plane.
And don't you tell me otherwise.
Hey. And I'm not trying to show off. I got watches more valuable than your cars.
Yeah.
But
every time I land in the airport, people clap.
I just walk in and they're like, yeah. We should do that at the airport next time. We should clap for people's getting on the plane.
We should have plans. Hire people.
We should
to
honor
have a
flight
layover.
People who are not honor flights.
No, we hire people.
Oh, we're in it.
No, yeah.
To do the little thing when they walk out.
I think you'd go to jail if you did that. I think they would arrest you.
If you do what? That. If you do the little tunnel?
If you do a tunnel at the end of the tunnel, yeah. You get arrested.
No, it's fine.
They think you have a bomb. You do that, they're like,
that
those guys
have a
bomb.
Spirit Airlines activity, okay? That is just regular, you know. Someone commented on my thing. I made a video about TSA thing, and they were like about how like they owe you money if you know. Someone commented and goes, "Well, that's not the same on Frontier." And I commented back, "Why would I be flying Frontier?" Sorry, this is a different. This is a conversation for other people. You know, there should be separate security lines for those people.
I remember there was a moment in time where I thought Frontier was the coolest airline, and it was just because of their commercials.
Because you were poor.
It was because I was a child, and they had commercials that appealed to
me. Well, I guess you grew up in their market, didn't you?
Yeah. I was someone that, because I think their whole marketing plan was we get the kids to think we're the coolest, so that way the parents buy tickets when they take their kids to Disney World.
Interesting.
I think that was why they did.
So they were flying Frontier.
I don't know what they were flying. I don't know. Was Frontier doing that in 1990?
Yes.
It was probably like,
I don't know.
American. I think American Airlines was the one in the 90s. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't have an answer to that question.
But they bought like 16 tickets.
They bought a lot of tickets.
Okay.
And so everybody comes out. They come to Chicago first and they stay.
And do Christmas.
They do Christmas the night before. They do their family thing. And the reports of what happened on Christmas Eve before the trip are a little shoddy because it was only the family that was there. So we don't know. There's questions on like how legitimate the storyline really is.
Okay.
But allegedly, there was a disagreement during dinner over some of the pizza or meals or something like that. And it got pretty heated between a couple of the cousins. And it kind of hit a fever pitch with Kevin, the son I showed you in the front. And that led to like disciplinary action. His mom, Kate, walked him out of the room. They went upstairs and they kind of had an argument. And in the argument, allegedly, Kevin screamed at Kate and said that.
I thought you were gonna say he stabbed her. I was like, what are you talking? I was like, what are you building to right now? He's like, allegedly.
Yeah.
This is where she tripped and fell down those stairs.
We
what did he say?
No, allegedly Kevin yelled something. We don't know exactly what he yelled, but something to the effect of, I lived alone. I wish I didn't have any of my family. I wish you were all dead. Something like that. We don't know exactly what he said, but he yelled something along those lines to that effect. And she said, tonight you're going to have to sleep in the attic.
Jeez. Seems like a disproportional, you know, a child throws a fit. And here's the thing about Christmas time, Christmas family fights, right?
Yeah.
Is that none of you have had vegetables in 3 weeks. That's the whole problem, dude. People come to Christmas and they're just stocked up on candy. No one's eating anything healthy. It's just freaking cornbread, ham, and Mars bars.
It's a ridiculous amount of carbs and sugar.
Yeah, and then you're just like, why are we always fighting at holidays? And you're like, because none of you have had your greens.
Your diet is a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're also all sleeping on couches. Like, there's 32 people sleeping in your house right now.
Yeah, dude.
Like, that's a nightmare.
Uncle Tom's chugged 2 gallons of milk. Like, that's not
of
good.
Of milk.
Yeah,
you keep saying it's milk, but we know that's not milk. We can smell it.
We know it's not milk.
So he goes up and he stays in the attic.
What is he drinking, Tim, that looks like milk? What alcoholic beverage?
There's plenty of alcoholic.
What,
rum-chata? Bailey's,
just
rum-chata.
Freaking going for it?
Jack and milk?
Ah, yeah.
It's that.
Can I get a Jack and milk, please?
I'm really don't want that.
We gotta go to Applebee's. I'm trying to order a Jack and milk.
Could I get a Jack and milk? Excuse me?
I said, can I get a Jack and milk?
We don't do that, sir. Excuse me, do you have milk back there? I know you have Jack.
Got milk?
Do you have milk back there? Just mix it. A shot of each.
Yeah. Milk?
Just put it together.
It's half and half. That's how it's mixed. It's not even. It's shot for shot milk and Jack. It's not even 2-to-1.
Shot for shot, baby.
Whole milk. None of that 2%.
Yeah,
and I swear if it's skim milk, I will burn this Applebee's to the ground. He'll take a dollar read up. Jeez. Jack milk.
Okay. That's insane. So he sleeps up in the attic that night.
All right.
That we know for sure.
Okay.
And then what happens here is kind of crazy.
It's like a finished attic? Does it have like, has he got air conditioning and stuff?
It's like a partially finished attic.
Okay.
I think it's kind of like, I think this might be like a Chicago thing or like, maybe not even a Chicago thing, but like this is something that I think certain regions treat attics like we treat basements.
That's fair.
Where it's like they'll partially like finish them, and like they'll put a bed up there. They'll put like a living room type space up there. I think. I don't know.
That actually is pretty good. Yeah, because the basements are never finished in those houses, though.
Yeah.
The basements were never finished in those houses. They always treat the interest.
It's interesting.
Interesting.
I think that's a thing that they do.
Huh. All right.
Anyways, overnight, there was a slight storm that knocked the power out. And this is 1990, so nobody has cell phones.
Okay.
And so because the power went out, the power came back on. No one noticed. No one realized the power went out.
Sure.
The power came back on and all the alarm clocks in the house were now off.
I hate when this happens. Like a hotel?
Yeah. So they missed their wake-up alarm. They wake up to the airport shuttle. Another thing we don't really do much anymore. But the airport shuttle came to pick them up.
Well, you do if you're upper middle class / maybe rich.
The airport shuttle comes to pick them up, knocks on the door.
Yeah, my Uber Black showed up. Personal driver.
That's a pretty similar. I guess that's the it's not Uber Black though. This an airport shuttle is
it's an airport
it's
shuttle.
It's the Uber.
Yeah.
What's the Uber where other people ride with you?
Yeah, I don't know
what
it's Uber called.
Uber Pool.
Yeah, yeah. I don't speak the poor's language. Jeez. Yeah, it's an Uber Pool.
Yeah. So the Uber Pool shows up. Jeez. They knock on the door. They wake up to the knock on the door and they're like, "Oh my gosh, our flight."
Yeah.
And so they just start panicking. Everybody starts like throwing stuff, grabbing each other. They're jumping in. And as they're getting in the car, Kate recounts it as saying it was chaos. We had 2 shuttles.
Yeah.
We had to count everybody. Like we had 8-9 kids that are coming on this flight and we had to figure it out. And so she said she enlisted one of the older daughters to go count all the kids in the other one, like count, make sure we've got enough, and went through, counted all the heads. Well, what had happened was there was a neighbor boy who saw the commotion, had already celebrated Christmas morning, got a new Game Boy, was out there playing with his Game Boy, walks over and is kind of talking to all of them, sits in the shuttle, is talking to the other neighbor kids, playing his Game Boy.
Did they take this kid on a flight?
Well, they count
kidnap
all the kids.
This child?
You're not a kidnapper.
You don't look like a kidnapper.
I am.
And so that she comes in and she sees this kid.
When I was 22, I got involved with the Russian mafia. I got kidnapped on Christmas morning. Jeez.
And so they count all these kids, and she sees what she thinks is Kevin.
Okay.
Sitting there, but it's really the neighbor kid.
Oh.
She counts him as if he's Kevin, and then she's like, "Yeah, we've got everyone." Meanwhile, that kid leaves the shuttle.
Like, Kevin's still upstairs.
All right, I'll see. Yeah, nobody remembered Kevin sleeping in the attic that night.
Kevin remembers. To this day, he remembers that he slept in the attic that night.
So Kevin's asleep up in the attic. No clue that any of this is happening. He's like just completely knocked out of sleep. The shuttle leaves. They go to the airport. They have to like sprint to their gate. They get on the plane. The plane takes off. They're airborne. Before anyone realizes that Kevin's still asleep in the attic. And so meanwhile,
how old's Kevin?
He's got to be like 7 or 8 at this time. Okay. I don't know. Like he's a child.
Young kid.
He's a child.
Allegedly. He could be a 32-year-old person pretending to be a child. We don't know the facts.
We don't know. We don't know. We're going off the reports from the family.
Yeah.
And so Kevin wakes up and Kevin walks down from the attic. Luckily, like, this is also an attic. This isn't an attic with like the...
Yeah, he'd be stuck up there. Like, yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey, I get it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, stairs. Like, there's stairs to this attic. So he walks downstairs and no one's there. And so he thinks in his little kid brain, he's like, I made my family disappear. He's like, when I wish all of you were gone, like, it worked. And so he celebrates. Like, he's having the time of his life this Christmas.
Oh.
Like, he's excited. Like, yeah. He's like, I can watch R-rated movies. I can eat ice cream for breakfast. Like, he's living the life, yeah. You know?
What we all do at 19 when we first move out.
Yeah. You're like, oh my gosh, I can do whatever I want. And yes. then you taste consequences for the first time.
Yeah.
In life.
Then you gain 70 pounds and you're like, whoa.
And then you check your credit card statement and you're like, whoa. You pay on that.
And
until
you find
35.
Out where your credit score is in a pretty unpleasant way.
And you realize that matters.
And you're like, shoot. You're like,
oh, people care about that?
Old people care about that? Oh, and then you start drinking milk and Jack to try to take the edge off, man. No, I'm so stressed. So, okay, so he's living
Dear
it up.
Beth.
Dear Beth.
Our son has been working hard and finally has an acceptable 720 credit score. I keep telling him it can be higher. And he says, Dad, I'm working on it. I'm trying my best. The economy isn't what it used to be. You guys got it easy with the houses that you bought so cheap.
And the great interest rates that you had. If you really look at the inflation, the minimum wage versus what a house costs these days, not that you're doing. Oh, geez, dude.
So they're on the flight. And Kate, just his mom, Kevin's mom, Kate, can't shake the feeling that she's forgetting something.
Yeah.
So they're sitting there and they're talking about it. They're like, I feel like I forgot something. And their husband's like, maybe I left the garage door open. I think that's it. I think I left the garage door open.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, that's not it. They're talking about it. They're talking about it. They're talking about it. And then she realizes nobody woke Kevin up. They're in the air on the way to France.
So she pulls a gun. Right, she's like, what's going to get this plane down? Right? She pulls a gun, storms the cockpit, and says, "Take me back to my child." That's the only way to get the plane down. Otherwise, they're like, "We're not turning around."
We're not turning around. Yeah, they didn't even care that she had a gun.
Yeah, it turns out the pilots were from Chicago, and they were like, "Hey, lady, no, that's not how we're doing it."
They
huh?
shot her.
Is that what we're doing it? Yeah.
So she rides this plane all the way to Chicago. Or not all the way to France. They fly to France. They're in the middle of a flight. Nothing they can do about it.
Yeah.
And she's freaking out. She's having a hard time. The family is like trying to console her on the flight. And she's like, the second we land, I'm getting on another flight back to Chicago to go help. Because Kevin's
and the dad's like, child. I mean, France. Kid's fine.
It's like, I mean, yeah, the food is going to be great. We got tickets for a show tonight. Like, they're non-refundable.
Yeah. It's like, I mean,
let's be real.
This was the highlight of their honeymoon. We have to go see.
We have to go see.
We can't.
He made such a big deal out of it.
Our best friends just told us this was the highlight. It was the highlight part. Of their honeymoon. We bought the tickets. We're going to go.
We got to do it. So Kevin, Kevin is home.
Yeah.
And a couple interesting things start to happen while he's there. One, he learns really quickly how to be an adult. He starts like
paying bills and
he's like taking care of the home. He's like trimming hedges. He's going to the grocery store and he's like buying himself like actual not just
this
like
is day one. Candy. He's like, I'm gonna trim the hedges. His family leaves. They're in the plane and he just walks out. And he goes, this house looks so unkept.
This house is such a freaking mess. And so he paints the whole thing. It was a crazy shade of green. Yeah. But he's like,
there was
I
not
think
enough
really
time for him to be like, someone should keep taking care of this. It was almost immediate. And he just goes,
I got to take care of this.
Well, I guess
the
it's on
gone.
Me now.
I'm the man of the house now.
He takes the trash cans up. He's like, but he's not taller than
he's not he's the, like, yeah. Yeah. He's just kind of shimmying this trash can down the driveway.
Hey, thanks for being part of this episode. If you want to help us do more of this, you want to help us grow our show, one of the easiest and best ways to do that is to join our Patreon. It's a way for you financially to support the show, and you get a lot in return. You get access to our Discord channel. You get bonus content that comes out. You get exclusive merchandise and like live Zoom hangouts where we're both just hanging out, eating pizza, just getting to know each other. The biggest thing is we want to know you more as an individual and as a friend. So thanks for supporting our show. If you don't support us financially, we're not pressed about it. We're not like mad, but I'll find you. So text Tillin to 66866 to keep yourself from being found. All right. Because if you don't, I will hunt you down.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin, TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah, so we started taking care of the home. Meanwhile, there had been this string of burglaries in their neighborhood.
Okay.
From a group that was known as the Wet Bandits. That sounds like a joke. I know that sounds like a joke.
But it was they called the Wet Bandits.
It was like their calling card.
Yeah, they peed themselves before they came in. That way, if they get caught, the first question isn't, what are you doing in my house? It's, did you pee your pants?
Bro. And just so, enough time down.
So it's your house, right? It's your house. You hear something, you sprint down the hall. You're like, you come running from the shadows. And then you skid. You stop and you go, hey, did you pee your pants? And in that split second, it buys them enough time to get out of there.
Shoot me.
The Wet Bandits!
We're the Wet Bandits, sucker!
They say that?
Yeah. No, what they were doing, they had this calling card. So they would break into homes of people who were out on vacation for like Christmas vacation.
We talk
vacation.
About people like this on...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they would break into these homes, but they wanted... I don't know why. They like wanted to like put their signature on it. And so what they would do is they would leave the kitchen sink on when they left and they would like stuff up the drain. So it would flood the whole house. And so they would steal all your stuff, but then also,
and then
like,
also have, make give sure you serious have an insurance water claim. Yeah, that sucks.
It's like, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
And so they...
for water damage, press... 4. For stolen property, press 5.
And you're like, babe, which one do I... Should I do the water damage claim first?
Yeah.
Or the stolen property
well, luckily,
claim?
Luckily, there was a... For the Wet Bandits, press 6.
For the Wet Bandits, press 6.
But it's like... Not, but it's like clearly, so like, they had to record that because of the new string of stuff. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, for water damage, press 5. For stolen property... Press 6. For the Wet Bandits, press 7. It's like clearly not the same. Recorded the
it's
same.
4. For
the Wet Bandits,
press 4. 6.
Beep. The Wet Bandits. You're not supposed to say beep. I said it. Press 7. Like all of that is in it.
It's all in there.
Okay.
And then you push the button and it goes, dum, sha-da-da-da, dum, dum, sha-da-da-da, dum, sha-da-da-da. What are you doing? Hold on. I'm doing that song. I'm doing that whole song.
I know what you're doing.
What are you doing?
Sounds. I was adding to it. I was doing what I would do on hold. You ever done that? You've been on hold and the music's pretty good. So you're kind of like, and then they go, hello? And you're like, Hi.
You know what I'm saying? They heard you. They definitely heard you. Going,
yeah. They heard. Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, oh, man. So.
They're like, would you turn your chair on me if this is the voice? And they're like, what? Would you turn? So anyway, sorry. It's stolen property and it's a wet claim.
Oh, wet.
My house is so wet right now. My house is
drenched, dude. All right, are you just calling a flex right now?
Yeah, your house is cool, man.
Bro, my house is soaking wet. Yeah,
we've got your property value in front of us. I know your house is wet. Wet. I know you're making
house.
A lot of money. It's fine.
Soppy wet house tour, February 2nd in Berlin, Maryland. We'll see you there.
So, so the Wet Bandits.
Yeah.
They ended up getting caught eventually. Their names are Harry and Marv.
Okay.
Harry, the game that they would do is Harry would go around the neighborhood and he would case the neighborhood dressed as a cop. And he would go door to door.
Okay.
And he would say, he would ring the doorbell and talk to the homeowners and say, hey, there's a string of burglaries in the area. We want to make sure that all of our neighbors are taking the proper precautions. Let me know what you're doing.
What are your security systems?
Yeah, what's your security program? Are you traveling anytime soon?
What's your pet's names? What kind of car did you drive?
Yeah, so he'd get all that information about them, find out if they were traveling anytime soon. And he would also, because he was an officer, like dressed like an officer, they would invite him in.
Oh.
And he'd get an inventory of what they have in the house and what he was targeting when they would break in. Like, it was kind of smart, like a smart way to case the neighborhood.
Sure.
And people fell for it. And so he actually did this with the McAllisters a couple of days before their trip. He showed up, did the same thing. And they're like, yeah, we're going to France on Christmas morning and we're going to do the whole thing. And yeah, we've got the timers on the lights, like everything you can do to be
safe, secure
and safe. And he got to see everything that they had. So they made plans the day after Christmas to come back and hit the McAllister home because they knew they were going to be out of town. Well, Kevin's there.
Yeah.
And so Kevin.
With his hedge clippers.
He's a real man.
I just trimmed those hedges. He gave the dirty shirt, beer in his hand.
He gave the family Volkswagen an oil change. Grease all over his fingers.
Couldn't even YouTube it.
He's making a steak on the grill.
Yeah, of the car. Like, the car is hard enough that he just knows how to cook it, right? He's just out there, the engine's running. He just... Yeah, I'm cooking food. I'm an army guy, you know? A-R-M-Y.
You're not going to know how I did it.
You're not going to know how I did it.
So Harry and Marv show up to hit the house. And he's inside. He's in the kitchen. And he's watching an R-rated movie, one of the like a family favorite classic Christmas movie. And there's been debate on what movie this is. Like, people can't track down. Like, he says it's a Christmas. He's like, I don't know what the movie was. It was one that my family was watching that year. It was an R-rated movie. And in that movie, there's kind of like an argument between a couple criminals that ends in like one of the criminals gunning down the guy with like a Tommy gun.
Jeez.
And it's a violent, like, R-rated movie.
It ends with one of the criminals being like, I wish you were never born. You know, it really guns him down, you know?
And so he hears the Wet Bandits trying to get in his kitchen. And so he takes the VHS and runs to the kitchen TV. They had a VHS in there and he puts the VHS in, fast forwards it to that moment in the movie. And he has some firecrackers. He puts them in a pot. And he times it. He like lights the firecrackers, so the firecrackers go off the same time that the guns fire
in
the movie, and like cranks the movie. So the guys are trying to like get in that back door, and then they hear this argument through the door, and then they hear the firecracker line up with the gunshot sounds in the movie, and they think that someone
they're getting shot at.
Well, they think someone beat them to it, and were having a disagreement over the take, and then someone killed someone. And so they freak out. They run. They're like, someone beat us to the score. Like, we missed our chance. And they're like, frick. So they leave. They run away.
Okay.
And Kevin is like, okay, we survived, but I don't know what that was about. Like, I'm a little nervous. Like, I gotta...
Sure. Gotta keep an eye out now.
Yeah, I gotta find a way to protect myself. They continue casing
pretty
the house.
Pretty quick thinking from this kid, though.
That is pretty sharp. Let's be real. We've learned some things about him already. Like, he was very quickly ready to just be the
man of the house.
Be in charge.
Yeah.
And it didn't take a second for him to figure it out.
Sure.
He started shaving. That was another thing he said. He said he started shaving. He didn't need to.
Yeah.
He didn't have anything
to shave.
He's
8 years old.
Yeah, he's just nicking himself.
He's just literally just cutting his face to shreds. Jeez. He's like, he thinks that's what shaving is.
I don't like thinking about that.
Is.
I don't think
he's
I don't
like,
like.
He's like, I'm just.
Like, I can't wait. My dad does this every
he's
day.
He's like, why do they do this every day?
I guess
day?
Your skin toughens up after a while.
I guess one day your skin gets
so now,
tough.
You know, the burglars are trying to break in. Freaking Freddy Krueger opens the door. He's like, hey, guys. He's got a kid voice. Hey, guys. And they're like, I'm more afraid of this guy.
He's got the hedge clippers in one hand, chest covered in grease.
Face covered in blood. I'd be scared, too.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Jeez.
So they start casing the house for a little bit.
Sure.
And they start to realize something's awry because they have this experience where they think someone got gunned down in the house. Kevin, quick thinking, goes and he finds like throughout his house, he's like, okay, I got to make sure that it seems like people are living here still. Like there's still stuff going on.
Okay.
So he goes and his mom has like a, like one of those like wig head dolls. You know what I'm talking about? Like the mannequin heads that you can store your wigs on. So he sets up a couple of those.
I got
like
a couple
the
of them.
Okay.
That's what I store my odd job hats on. Little mannequins and just, they're very large, you know?
He sets those up at like the dining room table, puts one on the
perfect
end of a
Christmas gift for anyone in your family with a massive head.
And like his
use our promo code.
His older brother has like a Michael Jordan like cardboard cutout. And so like he starts setting these up around the house. Like he puts one of them on like a train. So it like moves around the house and then turns all the lights on. So through the windows.
Oh, I thought you were saying like, yeah, they would then try to break in and see a mannequin head and go, like, oh, someone lives here.
No. So through the window shades, it would look like people, like silhouettes of people.
Interesting.
So they come back to kiss the house. They see this and they're like, what's going on? Like last night someone died
dead
here,
in there, but now
they're having a party, like a Christmas party. And so they start to think something shady is going on. Eventually, they put two and two together and realize that
this kid's by himself.
This kid's like trying to play us. And the kid somehow gets wind as to what's going on as well. Like he realizes these people are casing the house. I don't know if he sees them outside a bunch or whatever, but he's figuring it out. And here's where things get strange. I don't know if Kevin's parents just never like this is the height of stranger danger. This is the height of like the DARE program. Like you would think he would know. Call 911. Like you would think they would have taught him this.
Huh.
But he never does.
Never calls the police?
Never calls the police. Instead, he puts together a war plan. And
this would have been a shorter episode if he called the police. It would have been over so fast.
This event wouldn't have been as interesting. So he puts together this war plan to defend his home from the Wet Bandits. Doesn't realize they're the Wet Bandits yet. meanwhile, his mom is traveling across the world to try to get to him. So she lands in France. And in France, they're like, hey, like the next flight back to Chicago, with the quickest we could get you there is 2 days. And she's like, that's not good enough. And so she starts trying to like trade plane tickets with people.
I guess you could do in the 90s.
Yeah, that is interesting. Like, I don't know if like...
Could you just do that?
Yeah, could you just be like, hey...
Well, she's
like
got
trading
that gun.
Pokemon cards.
She got that gun. Give me that ticket.
I'll give you your ticket.
My son is home alone right now. I got to get back to him.
I don't believe you put the gun away. You could have just asked me. I'm not going to give it to you. Is that... Are you trying to tell me you have a gun?
I have a gun right now.
So she manages to get a flight back to the States, but doesn't get to Chicago. And so she starts having to like try to find connecting flights. Long story short, she ends up like going through, like she gets back to the States and then she has to like, there is a, you're not going to believe this. There's a polka band that's on tour. They flew in.
That's what I don't believe. I believe in a polka band. I just don't believe in a polka band on tour.
Well, it's not
I don't know if that's the part that I buy.
There's a polka band on tour and they're trying to fly back to Chicago. They like their tour's over. They're trying to fly back, but all the flights were canceled out of whatever airport they were in at the time. And so they decided they were going to rent a U-Haul and they were all going to sit in the back of this U-Haul truck and ride back to Chicago. And like, you can hitch a ride with us. With our polka band. In the back of this U-Haul. And so she agrees to this. But I mean it's a long drive in the winter storm.
Yeah, so she's going to get there 2 days later anyway, is what it sounds like. It's just kind of like you should have just taken the original flight.
Well, she didn't realize that when she left.
Like, I guess.
Yeah. And so, meanwhile, the rest of the family's seeing Paris.
They're like, oh.
It's a good thing Kevin's not here. He would have really ruined this.
This is actually way... Should we do this?
Should we put him up for adoption?
Should we get rid of Kevin?
Maybe this is better.
Maybe when we go to New York next year, we should just hide him somewhere.
Yeah, we could just leave him there. That's a pretty good idea.
Jeez.
So Kevin puts together this battle plan.
Okay.
And he... I mean, not going to lie, kind of look up to the plan he put together. Like, he put together this plan where he booby-trapped the heck out of his house. And so, for example, he got like a... I don't even know what these are called.
That's but they're a like, fist.
Thanks, man.
Forearm.
I don't know what this... What is this? Can someone tell me what this is? I've been drinking too much Jack and Milk. I can't figure it out.
Then it opens. That's crazy.
You see this happen? It's like a whole new thing.
Well, you want to see something crazy?
Yeah.
This is the church. Here's the steeple. You're gonna open it up. There's all the people.
This is the church.
Here's the steeple.
This is my gun. Let me have your plane ticket. Give me your plane ticket.
Just go to people. Mm-hmm.
Hey, good. Choose a different letter so you can yell it. Choose a yellow
one. Why? Why?
This guy just came up to me and asked, pointed a gun at me and asked why.
Did you pee your pants? Pee.
Okay, stupid.
No, they're these things. They're like a, it's like a little heating element. Like you plug it in and there's just a coil that you use. I don't know what you use it for. You use it to like heat stuff? I don't know. I'm not sure what it's for.
Okay.
It's just a heating element. So you put this heating element on the door. So the doorknob got super hot.
Oh, okay. So if you try to touch the door, yeah.
It would burn you. And then like in
and
his backyard,
mom comes home.
let's say the polka band arrives early and now it's Kate.
Mom's just like,
she comes inside, she opens, she gets the door open. What's inside the door?
He had put all of his Matchbox cars around the floor. So like you slip on the cars right when you walk through the door.
Kate's freaking on the floor.
She falls and
breaks her arm.
Yeah. And so he does stuff like that. Like at every doorway, there's cars or the glass Christmas orb ornaments by every window. So like you climb in, you're stepping on ornaments and breaking those. He also like the stairs, up to the front porch and the stairs down to the back. Like they had one of those back basement cellar doors. He sprayed down with water so it froze and got all icy. So
he's like, here's your calling card.
Yeah. Wet bandits, more like slip bandits. slippy boys.
More than some slippy boys.
And then like he, the basement stairs, this is like particularly diabolical. He, up the basement stairs, he like tarred them. So they were super sticky. So if you stepped on them, it like pulled your shoes and your socks off of them all the way up it until eventually like he like counted. I guess it was smart.
One shoe.
One sock. And then it was just a nail. So you just step right into the nail.
It's like The Quiet Place. You seen that movie?
No. Did the monsters do it in that movie?
No, the monsters didn't do it, but she steps on a nail and like you're supposed to be quiet, you know? And she steps on a nail and she's...
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's really rough. Yeah, they didn't have to be quiet, though. I mean, they probably would have been smarter, too.
You know, they could have just yelled all they want. Sure.
Luckily, they were yelling quiet letters. Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you like this one, we've got a lot of great past episodes that you can check out. One of my recent favorites is Frank Abagnale Jr. It's the dude from the movie Catch Me If You Can. And it's the story about how he scammed everybody into... a really big scam. There's one scam that's like the scammiest of scams I've ever heard someone scam. So check that one out. It's a fun one. I like it a lot. But thanks for being here.
So
they broke into the house then?
They did get in. They kind of split up, and so they found different ways in because they quickly realized, like, this house is booby-trapped. And so they split up to try to find different ways in. And it was just like one.
At what point do you give up, though? You know, like, at what point you're trying to rob a house? You've already got so many other houses in the neighborhood. This is a pride issue for these guys, right?
I think it is.
Do we have, like, arrest pictures of them or something?
Let me see. Let me see if I got them. I do have a picture of them. This is, I think this photo was taken the night of the arrest, but it's strange because they're not like, it's not like a mugshot. And it's also, they're not in the squad car. So I don't know if the police were like, hey, say cheese. But this is the two guys.
Oh my gosh. Wait, this guy looks like that dude from My Cousin Vinny. Is that?
Kind of looks pretty similar.
He does look like
that guy.
He
looks a lot like him.
This guy looks like, oh gosh, what's on his face?
So there was a hot iron that got dropped on his face at one point while they were in the house. The other guy, he had a blowtorch burn the top of his beanie. That's why his beanie looks like that. And he actually tarred a feather at him in one room. Like, no joke. Like, he came in a room, and I think it was like a floor fan that he set up with, like he rigged with a bunch of feathers. And so it was like honey, I think. So he got covered in the honey, and then the feathers got blown all over him.
How does it end, though? I mean, how many different traps you go through? This is what I'm saying about these burglars. Why not? You could just quit any time. You could just go, this is not worth it.
So he created this.
I guess you got to double down once you slip on a matchbox. It's kind of over.
It's kind of like, yeah, we got to get this kid. It's kind of like getting maced. Like, well, if you mace me, I'm just going to attack you harder.
That's, oh. Okay. Let's put that on the internet.
That was my lie. That's why you maced me. That's what I said that led to you macing me.
Are you just going to attack me harder?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, I don't think that's a real form of self-defense.
Oh.
I think if you mace me, I'm just going to attack you
then
harder.
I was like, all right, let's see. And yeah, then we learned.
And we learned. It's a very good form of self-defense.
Yeah, I'm going to tar and feather you now. Let's see what happens after.
So he leads them through this house of terrors, essentially.
Sure.
And he's very clearly, like, orchestrating their movements. It's like a haunted house. It's like you're going to do this booby trap, and it's going to lead you here, and it's going to lead you here. All leading them up to the attic. Like, he has them chase him up the stairs, and he hangs paint cans from, like, some ropes that swung down and, like, hit him in the face while they were coming up the stairs. Like, crazy stuff. Gets them to chase him all the way up to the attic.
Who cleans all this up?
You know what I'm saying? Fire department, right? When stuff like this happens, the fire department's on the hook for that, right?
Right. I come home. I go, I would have rather them just flooded the house, Kevin. Like, all this stuff is protected by insurance.
Yeah,
what
next
were you
time,
doing?
Let him do this.
Just call 911.
Call 911 and then go to church.
Oh,
I couldn't remember.
I called 199. Kevin, you're dyslexic.
I called 199 and the guy said, stop calling me.
He's like, hey, leave me alone.
Hey, leave me alone. This is a common mistake people make.
NORAD. What?
The literal Air Force shows up.
Yeah, they airstrike this house. Target acquired.
We got him.
Target destroyed.
Target eliminated.
Yeah.
Kate comes home. It's literally a crater.
Yeah.
What did he do?
Kevin's in a tree, though. He's like, I got him, Mom.
Like, I tried to take care of the house. The bushes look really good.
I did some broken ornaments. I did some matchbox cars. I had one of them. He got hit in the face with an iron. And then I called in an airstrike from the United States Air Force.
We bombed the heck out of him.
Oh, but you know what, though? Maybe he didn't call the police because he thought...
The guy was a cop.
Yeah.
Maybe he thought they were dirty.
So maybe he thought that if he called the police, they'd be like, yeah, we freaking know, dude. You know? What if you call that one? Yeah. Like, my house getting broken into. They're like, we know.
We know.
We
know.
Oh, we're aware. We'll send some of our best guys out there. All right. So what happened?
So he gets them to chase him up to the attic,
okay,
where he had set up a zip line from the attic to his treehouse.
Okay.
And they chase him up there. He's like, I'm going to go to the treehouse and call 911. I'm calling the cops. You better stop me. And he ziplines to the treehouse. And when
he gets in a zipline?
Not like this. Like I've done
I went to a main event the other night. They have a small zip line. It's like 40 feet.
Yeah, that's true.
We did the ropes course stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I've done like a ropes course at youth camp.
And I was like, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that.
Yeah.
And then the guy who's like a little bigger than I am, he goes, I do it. And then he ran up there. Like, and this guy, dude, the guy at main event the other night, he acted like he lived on the ropes course. Because like me and Ray are the only ones up there. It's a Monday night. It's a slow night at main event. And we're like going, you know, we're doing our
little. I love that you guys did the ropes course at main event.
Shoot. You know, and this guy's just like, like a freaking, you see Nacho Libre?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
you know the girl who crawls through the tunnels?
Yes.
That's what he looked like. Just freaking. Like, you'd be like, and then he's just, and he's over on the other side, and you're like, what the heck? And he does this little zipline. What the heck? So then I'm like kind of looking at it, and he just like appears. He's like, I'll do it.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Okay.
And he's like, I'm like, I'm bigger than you are. He's like, you can do it. I was like, oh, okay.
Right,
and
man.
Then he went and then, so that 40 feet was terrifying for me. Is what I'm saying.
This is a similar situation, except for it's a zip line he built himself.
That's what I'm saying.
Earlier that afternoon.
Yeah. And this is like, if I fall, I'm going to get a really good, I kind of wanted to, you know, I was like, I got to pay off some debt. Main event's going to, I'm going to sue him.
He built it using the handlebars from his bike. And so he hooked that up on this rope and just zip lined across to his treehouse. And he talked about it in like a news report. And he said that was the one part that he wasn't very confident in. Like he's like, I didn't know if that was going to work. I was very scared. And it did. He made it. And like was like, I'm calling the cops, like coercing them to crawl across the zip line.
Oh, geez.
And so he waited for them to get up on the zip line. And they're like shimmying. They don't have a zipper.
A zipper. So they're just on the line.
Yeah, they're just climbing the zip
line.
From the attic to the treehouse. He waits for them to get about to the middle of the line and then reveals that he had set the hedge clippers up there that he was clipping the hedges with. And so he gets out there and he clips the lines. So they swing back.
That's what I'm saying.
House.
You're a grown man. You've got a sophisticated system for burglarizing homes.
Yeah.
And then a 9-year-old child is looking you in the eye, holding your destiny, and just. That hurts more than any physical pain that could have taken place.
I mean, they've been beat hard at this point. Like they are in a bad situation. And so they swing back into the house. He climbs out of the treehouse and he runs across the street to a neighbor's house who he knew was also out of town. And he breaks into this house.
Breaks into their home. It's also booby trapped.
Well, here's the thing. He runs into this other house. Breaks into this house. The wet bandits had already hit this house. It's flooded. And so they had already broken into this house. He didn't know that. So he breaks in there and he goes to try to get to a phone. Because that was the problem. It's like he set up this whole play like he was going to call the cops from that treehouse. But it's a treehouse. This is the 90s. There's no phone there. So he has to go get to a phone. And finally, after this whole like event of him leading them on and like having them chase, he has the upper hand. They finally like... are like, they outsmart him. And so they go through the back door while he's going through the front door and they catch him.
Splash, 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 splash. He can't sneak up on them. You know what I'm saying? Like they're just like, what? The other guy's trying to swim. It's not deep enough, but he's like trying to swim. It's like an inch. He's just like, I'm coming.
Swim. What are you doing?
Get off the floor.
They catch him and they, Kevin says that they picked him up and they hung him like by his coat on a coat rack and they were like threatening to like bite his fingers off or something crazy. Like it was like,
what?
Like kind of crazy. Like,
you know, a lady did that to my brother at Subway once. This is a real story. There was a lady in my hometown. There's a lady in my hometown who we all knew she was insane. All right. But she would just go around town. She'd be riding
the one
her
with
bike.
The newspapers in her yard.
Oh, I have told you about her. Yeah, she had like they're hanging from her trees and stuff. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, but I don't think I've said that on the podcast before.
I don't think you have.
Like you literally go by her house. All of her windows are covered in newspaper. She's got newspaper clips hanging from the tree, like freaking ornaments or whatever, like outside of her house, just whole yard. But she'd ride around town on her bike. And then if you were just anywhere near, she'd scream at you. And she'd be like, don't you look at me! Right? But she's the most lookable at person you ever see. Right? Like she'd want to look
like,
at her.
I'm going to look. You know? You told me about her because I saw her at
You did I see saw her at the that gas one station. Time. Yes. And you were like, there's this crazy lady. And
no,
I was like,
I didn't say that's a crazy lady. I said, why is there a mannequin out front of the gas station?
That's right. And I was like, no, that's a person.
A real person.
Yeah, she's crazy.
She did not move. I'm not even kidding when I say she didn't even flinch. Like, she was out there. I pulled up. I saw her standing there.
Yeah.
And like, I walked past her, walked in. She didn't even move. Yeah. Walked out, walked past her again. She didn't move. And I backed up and I remember staring at her and being like, why did they put this out here?
She hates when people look at her too. Because she was at Subway and my brother was four at the time. And he's clearly a four-year-old who looks at someone who looks insane and goes, and then she turns and goes, if you don't quit looking at me, I'm going to bite your fingers off. Right? She straight up said that. So
pretty similar scenario.
Yeah.
Pretty similar
scenario. Then she flooded our house. Anyway.
So they hang him up, threatening to bite his fingers off. Luckily, and this was like just a pure stroke of luck, the neighbor of that house had heard the commotion when Kevin cut that wire, cut the zip line, and looked at the window to see
what was happening.
Two guys swinging from this cut zip line across the house, looking like they got beat to death. And then they sees Kevin run out and run into that house, looking all afraid. So he grabs a snow shovel and follows him in and sees them catch Kevin. And he just bongs him on the back of the head with the snow shovel, had already caught the cops. And so like knocks them out, grabs Kevin. The police show up. They arrest the Wet Bandits. And Kevin survives the whole encounter. Ironically, Kevin was afraid. This was the neighborhood that Kevin was afraid. Like everyone was like, oh, he's a murderer. Like he was like the guy that was the scary guy in the neighborhood.
Yeah. It'd be like if the bike lady saved me one time. She comes up on her bike and does have you ever seen police train with their bike? And they do that thing where they go, back up. You know, like if the lady came. I'm talking about. You remember those videos from 2020, dude? Where there's so many protests and all of a sudden these freaking bike squads were like, we're intimidating. And you're like, you're not intimidating when you wear a bike helmet,
you gotta
bro.
Put your shirt away. Kevin spends the next day cleaning the house up, decorating for Christmas, and like gets it turned around just in time for his mom to show up.
Wait, are the police not like, where are your parents?
The police are just like, feel free to go home, bro.
Parents got the police get the Wet Bandits. And they go, all right, thanks for your statement.
Do you got somewhere you can go or you can't stay here? I mean, you gonna go home tonight or?
All right.
In Chicago.
Hey, you know, we got stuff to do.
We got bigger fish to fry, kid.
Yeah.
Scram.
He just goes home. And so his mom comes home.
His mom comes home the next day.
With the polka band.
His mom comes home the next day. He's sleeping upstairs. She gets home early in the morning.
She goes, he's been asleep in his attic the whole time?
Well, she gets in the house and the house is clean. The house, the Christmas decorations are up. They didn't even decorate for Christmas. They were so excited for this trip. He's like, he decorates for Christmas.
Reverse Grinch to the house.
And so he decorated everything. They're like,
she wakes him up and he goes, it was a dream the whole time.
And that, she gets there. She finds him. He tells her everything that happened. And like,
she goes, okay.
She's like, all right, let's we'll schedule a doctor's appointment for this week and see what's going on in that little
brain. The hat man showed up.
She's like, we're throwing away all the Benadryl. And then just as like they're coming downstairs, he's telling her all about this. The front door opens and the rest of the family got home. Like they got on that 2-day flight, the flight that was 2 days later, and they got home like pretty much the same time as her.
Yeah.
I mean, for them, it was kind of just like a mistake. Like the family didn't, like there was no charges or anything against anyone in the family, but it is kind of like a, man, you guys put your kid in a rough spot.
Yeah.
So like there was kind of a public like backlash of like, yeah, like what you idiots.
Yeah.
Cause they really did put their kids in a rough spot, but he did catch the Wet Bandits, who was a pretty hairy problem for the town for a while. So.
Wow.
That's the story of how Kevin McAllister saved Christmas, I guess. I don't know how he did it.
Well, he fiddled off those bandits is how he did it.
Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you liked it, you can subscribe or watch some more episodes or some clips. But then I need to make this like 20 seconds. My producer said it has to be longer, so I'm just going to keep talking for a little bit. And is this long enough, Connor? Okay, cool. Thanks for being here.